and welcome to module number one of Waking Back Up to Your Own Soul. First, I just want to honor you so deeply for being here. You've taken the plunge, you've listened to the calling of your soul, to the little knocking on your heart, and it's so powerful to be able to answer to your soul's call. You might be wondering at this point, at the beginning of our journey together, what am I doing here? Why did I sign up for this? Am I really going to get anything out of this? Am I really going to escalate my soul in the way that I know I'm ready to do? And all I can say to you is that the answer is yes. Yes, you are. You're here for a reason, and it's not because of me. It's because of you. It's because your soul told you that it was time. It was time to listen. It was time to reach a new level of consciousness. It was time to meet your soul, your spirit, the spirit inside of you that is so eternal and will be here forever and has been here since the beginning of time. And what an honor it is to be able to listen to yourself, to your subtle body, to these subtle inner workings of your mind and to the connection that you have to the cosmos and to the earth that is always feeding you information and always sharing so many blessings with you, so many gifts, so many miracles all the time. So I hope that the introduction of this course served you well and that writing intentions went well for you and coming up with a mantra. So before we dive into module number one, where we are going to learn to reconnect to our eternal soul, I want to first invite you to consider your mantra. Think about your intentions that you set for the duration of this course. We're going to sit quietly together for a moment, or stand if you're on a walk. That's what I love about audio. We can be doing so many things. And just take a deep breath and bring that mantra into your mind, into your third eye. Your mantra is a positive affirmation of everything that you're ready to call into your life. And since time doesn't exist, and in this course, we will be unraveling the concept of time and the construct of time, know that because you're ready to call it in, that in some realm, in some very near future of this realm, this is already yours. This is already yours to claim. So your mantra is powerful and you are powerful. So just take a moment in your mind's eye, connect to that mantra. Connect to all that you are, all that you've ever been, and all that you will always be. And thank yourself. Thank yourself truly for showing up, because this work is courageous. This work is brave. And we must be strong to embark on this work of self-improvement and self-betterment, because the easy thing, I believe we all know this to be true, is to stay complacent, to stay as we are. It's easy to stay where we've always been. It's easy to stay believing what we've been taught, by our parents, what we've been taught in school. And so much honoring and love to our families and our teachers who have instilled wisdom in us that no doubt has influenced our life in positive ways, as well as perhaps in other ways that may have potentially taken us out of alignment with our soul, with our spirit, the spirit that was us before we came into this earthly vessel, this earthly body. So your mantra is your gift to yourself. Repeat it in your mind whenever you need, both during meditation, but even more importantly, during the ceremony of life, when you're doing something that doesn't totally set your soul on fire. Maybe you're at your office that you're not totally in love with your job yet, or maybe you're just taking care of daily life. You're at the DMV, you're at the grocery store. Repeat your mantra anytime you need, and I promise it's always there for you because you created it and you are your own healer and you are your own teacher. So your mantra is your first and biggest and greatest gift to yourself in this course. Or perhaps it's your second, because your very, very first was signing up and committing and investing in yourself. So here we are in module number one. I, for one, am so excited. This course is going to be an absolute playground together. We're going to reconnect to our souls, to our ancestors, to our bodies, to our inner child, to our spirit, to the cosmos, and to the earth, to Mother Nature. And first, the very, very first place we're going to start right here and right now is by remembering that we are an eternal soul, and we're going to explore everything that that means. So being an internal soul means that we are not our mind. We are not our body. We are our soul, and our soul is part of the everlasting, ever-evolving, and ever-expanding consciousness that has existed since the beginning of time. So imagine the Big Bang Theory, which is a little explosion that brought everything into existence, the universe, the stars, the sky, the sun, the moon, nature, humans. Imagine before the Big Bang, and I'm going to share a little story of creation with you from the Kabbalah, and Jewish mysticism has been a huge part of my own healing journey and my own process of waking back up to my own soul. And here we are. I am completely committed to sharing my journey with you in hopes that it will influence and inspire your journey. So take whatever resonates with you from the story of creation in Kabbalah, and I hope that it brings you something to your soul like it brought to me. And the story of creation in Kabbalah goes that there were two entities before the beginning of time in what they call the endless world. And those entities were the light and the vessel. And the light is the masculine energy, and the vessel is the feminine energy. And the light purely existed to give and give and give love and light and endless love and light to the vessel. And the vessel received this light and also gave the light a physical vessel container for the love and light that it was sharing. Otherwise, what would be the purpose of the light's light? There would be no purpose because there would be nowhere to share or to place the light. So this went on in the endless world for a long, long, long time, infinite time, truly. And the vessel started to experience something in Kabbalah that is called bread of shame. And bread of shame is when the vessel was experiencing, receiving all of this light and love, all of this glorious, wonderful light without earning it or without being able to give anything back. And the vessel was very inspired by the light and wanted to be able to give something back to the light because the vessel felt how beautiful that the light is giving to me. The light has inspired me. I want to give. I don't just want to receive. I'm not doing anything to earn this receiving. It doesn't fulfill me. So the vessel asked the light to withdraw the light and love because the vessel could not handle living in this state of bread of shame any longer. It was truly crippling to the vessel. So since the light existed purely to please the vessel, the light withdrew all that it was sharing with the vessel. And once it withdrew all of that light, the vessel then existed in such stark darkness, which it had never had to experience before and couldn't handle at all. It was too much to handle. It was going to shrivel up. It was not okay. And so the light rushed back to the vessel just at full force because it could not handle that the vessel was now living in this extreme darkness. And the light rushed back so fast before the vessel had time to firm up its container, the vessel that it had always been for the light. And because the light rushed back so fast, it hit the vessel before the vessel could take in the light. The vessel exploded into infinite trillions of pieces that became this world, that became all of us, that became the stars, the cosmos, Mother Nature, souls, spirits, everything. Everything that exists here on this plane and all of the other physical planes swirling around us. So that being said, we are all the vessel and we are all the light. And because in the endless world, the vessel did not have the chance to give the way that the light had given so selflessly and so much to the vessel. Here, the purpose of life, part of what we're here to do is to share, to receive love, which was our birthright from the light. It's been happening since the endless world. And also to give love, share love into the world and into those around us. And the way that we do that, the way that we most reconnect to what we came here to do is by giving. And also knowing that we are worthy of receiving. So the way that we do that is we connect back to our eternal soul. Our eternal soul has existed since the endless world as we are all a piece of the vessel and we're all a piece of the light. And we are all masculine and feminine energy wrapped into one. Women being so powerful as we are that feminine energy from the endless world of the vessel. We are the container for everything that is masculine, everything that is light. And we can work on our container. We can expand our container. We can mold and shape our container. And we can be such an absolute spiritual evolving container of bliss for the light, for the masculine energy in our life, whether that be the masculine male aspects of us, of our own body, or whether that be the masculine male counterparts in our life, fathers, brothers, friends, partners, or whether that be the masculine aspects of Mother Nature. The sun is masculine. Well, the moon, Mama Moon, is feminine. Father Sky is masculine. So in order to commune with nature, we must return to that concept of the eternal soul, the vessel and the light. And the main way that I have found to be so helpful and so healing in returning to my eternal soul, unfolding in every direction at all times, is to know that I am not my mind. I am not bound by my mind. I am not the stories in my mind. I don't have to believe what my mind is telling me. And also, I've begun to speak to my soul with the reverence and respect that my soul deserves. Because my soul and your soul has been around for so long, and we chose to incarnate into this body to evolve our soul, to evolve our karma on this endless path of trying to reach and successfully reaching higher states of consciousness for ourselves, but also for the betterment of all around us. Because if we were just evolving on our own, that would be bread of shame. That would be evolvement for what? for not giving back, for not sharing with others, for not evolving the people that we love along with us so that we can all rise up and reach higher and higher states of consciousness and change the world in the ways that this world so greatly needs for us to wake up. And speaking to my soul with the respect and reverence that she deserves means understanding the quantum field. And the quantum field is what science explains as quantum field of energy, energy we cannot see. But what I will explain here as speaking to our soul, we're all surrounded by a quantum energy field, one that exists that we can't see, but we know it's there. And all of the little energetic cords in that field connect us to each other. They connect us to the earth, and they connect us to a higher collective consciousness that we're all tapped into all the time, whether we realize it or whether we don't. We are the universe expressing itself in human form for just a little while, but also as many times as we want and as many times as we choose to incarnate here on this earth. And it's so important and so healing to remember that we have chosen to be here for reasons beyond our wildest dreams. We've made soul contracts in other dimensions, and here we are playing out those soul contracts with ourselves, with our families, with our soul tribe, with the people around us, with our partners, with our future partners, future children, if we choose to have children. And we all made these soul contracts with each other to teach each other so much. So if it seems infinite to the point of being confusing, that's because it is. That is what the quantum field is, both large and small. It goes in infinite directions. And the point is not really to get answers, because answers, we could spend a whole entire lifetime searching for answers. The point is to exist in a place of happiness and love, to reconnect to that place of love and light, of the original vessel, the original light that exists inside of all of us. And when we exist there, when we are love, we can heal ourselves. It's not easy, and it's not without great expansive work, but it is the work of the soul. And that is such a beautiful thing, and that's what we're here to do. It's truly lifelong work. It's everyday work. And that commitment to ourselves is a gift from infinity. It's also a choice. So infinity, infinite consciousness has gifted us this human experience so that we can wake up. We can wake up and evolve our souls. So now that I've explained a little bit of Kabbalah and a little bit of what I see the quantum field to be, the ever expansiveness of our soul, returning to the love and light of our endless vessel, endless selves, I want to explain a little story, tell a little story to you guys that really rocked my world, that I believe was the catalyst for me to wake up to my own eternal soul and to see that it's not scary that we don't understand the quantum field, and it's not scary that our souls are eternal. It's actually our greatest power. It's our greatest gift. So I'm going to share this story with you that really shifted my mindset and my perspective on everything eternal souls. And this was a plant medicine experience. So in this course, I'm going to be talking here and there about plant medicine. And when I speak of plant medicine, I'm either speaking about psilocybin mushroom experiences or ayahuasca plant medicine, grandmother ayahuasca experiences. And when I share about plant medicine, I know that that is a topic that resonates with some, and others are not interested in exploring their minds and their consciousness via plant medicine, as plant medicine is psychedelic and that's not for everybody. And I respect that wholeheartedly. And I also believe that different things that I've experienced on plant medicine and that others have experienced also via plant medicine can be experienced in meditation, quieting the mind, completely free from any psychedelic or any medicine of any kind. So at the end of this episode, I'll walk you through a meditation that I hope will help you reach and achieve some of those states. And if meditation doesn't get you there, holotropic breathwork is something to look into. We'll put some information about that in the PDF. There's lots of different ways to achieve states of expanding the mind and expanding consciousness. And for me, when I have done plant medicine, it has been in such a conscious way and such a intentional way. The sources that I receive the plant medicine from have infused so much love and care and light into each and every piece of the medicine, every incarnation of the medicine that has really helped it be an extremely conscious experience for me. Even when it's been so expansive that it's been overwhelming, for the most part, it's always resulted in complete bliss and opening of the mind, returning to the quantum field, to my eternal soul. So this story I've been saving to share here, as I've wanted to share this story on the podcast and in other places, but I felt that saving it for this important occasion would be best. So I was on a mushroom journey that I was leading myself through a couple months ago in Malibu, on the same beach that Jonathan proposed to me on. And he was actually there as well, but he was not doing plant medicine. He was up at Soho House working on his computer. And I took myself down to the beach. I was microdosing, so I just had a little bit of plant medicine in my system, but sometimes a little bit can be the deepest medicine, is what I learned, because it can take us to a place where we're still really conscious and really here. So we remember everything so clearly, and we can almost blend this body, this physical experience, with our eternal soul, which is the whole point. So, microdosing plant medicine, I took myself down to the beach. I laid on the sand. I had my journal with me, very journal that I have next to me right now. And I was just basking under the sun, feeling the golden glow of the sun in the late afternoon when the sun kind of turns the beach orange. And that beautiful, like pre-golden hour atmosphere. And I was laying there and the sand was showing me so much. The sand was rising and parting and rising and parting and showing me almost Egyptian pyramid style evolvement of our souls and how we're so interconnected to our ancestors who lived in ancient Egypt and built these pyramids with their own bare hands. And these pyramids exist, the ruins, people go there, people have spiritual experiences there. And the sand was opening and showing me this is also us. The sand in Malibu is the consciousness of the pyramids in Egypt. And what I took that to mean was that when we believe ourselves to be something, then that consciousness is the only thing that's needed in order for that to be true. So the sand was showing me that since it sees itself in that moment, was seeing itself as these ancient Egyptian pyramid ruins, and I was seeing it as the sand in Malibu, and then I was seeing it as both. The sand, the earth, was showing me that when it believes itself to be something, then that something can be entirely true. And so as that relates to us, say that you finally allow yourself to see yourself as a powerful, powerful, powerful human creature that you are. All it takes is your belief and your consciousness to finally know that that's what you are. You're not weak. You're powerful. You're not enough. You're entirely enough. And just like the sand, the little grains of sand could believe that they are huge pyramids full of such infinite wisdom, thus are we. And all it takes is that belief of knowing that our soul is eternal and that we can be anything we want, and we are anything and everything we want. So I started to take that concept that the sand was sharing with me, or the pyramids, I should say, were sharing with me, and applied it to my own life. And my main intention at that point in my life, just a few months ago, was to heal from Lyme disease, to return to the energy that I have so missed having being a part of my life, and to return to being a healthy, happy Jordan self. And I took that message from the sand and started to tell myself, I am healed. I do have energy. I'm not held back by this disease because I am not this disease. I can believe myself into my own existence of health. So that's exactly what I started to do. And it started to really work out. And now, a couple months later, I would say I am healed, and I still have healing to do, but I am not who I was at my sickest. I'm not even close. And I've received so many gifts from the sickest part of myself to wake back up to my soul. So from there, with the sand, after the sand taught me that it could be anything that it believed itself to be, meaning that I can be anything I believe myself to be, as consciousness is eternal and everywhere all of the time, I then took it a little bit deeper. The medicine took me a little bit deeper, and I started to see things and recognize things that I started to realize I have certainly seen and known before. And the barrier between me, the energetic quantum field barrier between me and everything that my soul has always known, but I've forgotten in this lifetime because we are humans, and humans are a species with chosen amnesia until we choose to wake back up. That barrier started to dissolve, really dissolve. And I started to see, oh my goodness, what I'm learning and seeing right now is a tale as old as time. I have known this forever. I have remembered this in so many lifetimes. And here I've come to this lifetime as Jordan Younger, the daughter of Jane and Byron, the granddaughter of Esther and Harry and Terry and Byron Sr., the sister of Melissa and Lisa and Christian. I mean, so many different ways to describe myself. And I started to see myself as so much beyond that, as my complete eternal soul in all of her eternal glory. And at first, and I was laying in the sand and I was letting the sand fall through my fingers and connecting to the earth and really communing with everything the sand was teaching me, and the sky and the ocean at the same time, and realizing that, well, at first I felt fear, which I believe is natural. And I think that's kind of something that a lot of us feel at first when we are evolving into the eternal nature of our soul. I was scared at first, and I felt that I felt that I had been lied to in a way in this lifetime, but then I had to ask myself, who lied to me? I mean, nobody lied to me. My parents didn't lie to me. I didn't lie to myself. My teachers haven't lied to me. Everyone's just teaching me what they know and what they know to be true and what they know how to do. And now here we are in the age of Aquarius. And the age of Aquarius is when the feminine is rising. The feminine, the vessel, is rising back up. And we are consciously and collectively returning to our highest power. And that's why those of us in this day and age, we have so many opportunities that we didn't have previously, that women didn't have previously, that men didn't have previously, to evolve our consciousness of our soul. I mean, I know from my parents' life, at least, life was so different when they were my age. It was about providing for family. It was about making ends meet. It was about hard work. It was about making our families proud, making ourselves proud, nose to the grind, working. And oh my gosh, even though that is still the paradigm of much of the world, for those of us who are here and those of us who are awake and waking back up to evolving our consciousness and our soul, that is not the blueprint. That is not the paradigm anymore. We can shift from that. We can pull back the veil as I pulled back the veil on that day on the beach. And to get a little bit deeper into what happened in that experience, as that veil was pulled back, and as I realized that I am an eternal soul, remembering lessons that I have absolutely known forever, I realized that part of why we incarnate into these bodies is to elevate our souls to the next level. And I saw in that moment what I believe to be heaven and what all the different religious texts speak of as heaven or utopia. I saw it and it was so glorious. And it was this angelic place where everything is love, everything is light. Consciousness is so beautiful and alive there. And we are alive there. Our souls exist there eternally. And what I saw was that by doing this soul work here on this earth and lifting back the veil, we can also be and live in heaven now, here and now. So our life can be our heaven, and our life doesn't have to be about hard work and evolving our soul so that we can get to that heavenly place. We already are that heavenly place. That's what our souls are. And I saw that both in this realm and in other realms that our soul lives in, we can create that utopia. And part of what we're here to do, part of what many of the fearless leaders in this spiritual soul evolving movement are doing, are leading the way, paving the way so that eventually this realm, this universe, this place and time can become utopian and can become purely love. And life can be heaven, and people can remember that life is about connecting to our souls, creating ourselves expressively, returning to our eternal nature, expressing love, being love, reuniting with our soul family, teaching each other things. It can all be so fun. So I was asking my soul in those moments as the veil was completely lifted. My soul was awake and alive and there she was. I was asking her, have I learned this like thousands and hundreds of thousands of times? Is this a tale as old as time, the way that I see it to be? And my soul just quite simply said to me, yes, yes. And don't beat yourself up over this, because that's what being human is forgetting our soul's eternal nature and then remembering our soul's eternal nature. And how beautiful can it be if we shift our world and our consciousness to constantly living in that eternal nature. So we raise our children in our society to know that they are everything and everything is them. They are everything they believe themselves to possibly be. And whatever they want in life, they can manifest it. Miracles are all around them. And that day on the beach, seeing that heaven is here and now, seeing that our eternal souls are just dancing and gloriously waiting for us to wake back up to our own soul was everything. And similarly, I had an experience about a month after that on that same beach where I was on plant medicine, connecting with my soul, connecting with the cosmos. I looked up at the sky and the clouds taught me something. The clouds showed me Well, first, the entire sky turned purple. And I'm looking at my purple amethyst crystal right now. And that just reminds me to encourage you while listening to this course, while immersing yourself in this course and journaling and learning throughout the course of this soul awakening that we are all on together, I want you to choose a few crystals and have some earth energy with you at all the time. And maybe, just maybe, envision what kind of color you need in your life, what color is your soul, so that you can reconnect to that place quite easily whenever you look at your colored crystal. So this amethyst very much reminds me of the color that the sky turned when the sky began to teach me that I am so, so, so connected to the cosmos, to everything that is above us. The clouds were dancing in this purple and pink sky, and they were showing me energetic cords all the way down to my third eye and all the way down to the center of my heart. And they were showing me that my soul exists there all of the time. My spirit lives there all of the time as well. And I chose to come here to this human body, and I'm part of that consciousness. It's not separate from me. It's not something that I have to try to tap into. It's not something that I have to beg to tap into. That is who I am. And that information is flowing through me all the time in every moment. And you have that too. So your soul has its eternal place where it always lives and it dances and plays. And the energetic cords between that place and your body exist at all times. And your soul is just ready for you to wake back up. So learning that we are not our mind, we are our soul, is step one. It's huge. It's the gateway to everything. It's the gateway to surrender, to trust, to channeling, to opening our eyes, to developing an intimate relationship with our bodies, to healing our ancestors. It's knowing that we are eternal, and the stories that we read about in the Bible and the Torah and Kabbalah, the Zohar, and all of the other ancient texts, A Course in Miracles, that was written in the 20th century and holds so much wisdom, so, so, so much wisdom. All of these places remind us truly that we are our own creator. We are our own creator. That's truly what it is. And I want to share with you a quote from Michael Singer. Michael Singer, the author of The Untethered Soul, The Journey Beyond Yourself, the book that completely changed my life that I read in Bali a couple years ago. And he says, there is nothing more important to true growth than realizing that you are not the voice of the mind. You are the one who hears it. So how powerful is that? We are the one who hears the voice of our mind, but we, our soul, sits at the seat of our own consciousness. So we are in the driver's seat all of the time. All of the time. Another Michael Singer quote that is of a similar vein that has really, really helped and changed my life is that your inner growth is completely dependent upon the realization that the only way to find peace and contentment is to stop thinking about yourself. So how powerful is that? What we do all the time, and even what we're doing here in this course, which is hilarious because we're human and that's part of what humanness is we're thinking about ourselves, and we're so just obsessed with ourselves and the evolvement of ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with that because we are human, and that's part of what being human is being better, bettering ourselves, being happier. We have to be happier in order to be love and embody what our souls came here to do. But what is also so important about waking up to our eternal soul is getting out of our own way and truly stopping thinking about ourselves. And I'll just share with you a little bit about even creating this course. I have had to get out of my own way so many times because when I'm thinking about myself, when I'm living in the mind of the ego, I think things like, what if this isn't enough? What if people don't like this? What if this doesn't help people in the way that I want it to? What if people don't like my voice since this is an audio course? And so many stories. We are always thinking about ourselves, and in thinking about ourselves, we are unconsciously, subconsciously beating ourselves up all of the time. But what about disconnecting from the self and getting out of our own way? And I look at people who I admire the most in this world, and they have committed to getting out of their own way. So many different people, some of the most powerful people that I know. My amazing shaman, whose name is so dear to me. He's so dear to me. I don't even want to share his name here, because he is just everything. And I have watched him transcend humanness to get out of his own way and become an alchemist for earth medicine and become an alchemist for love. And he doesn't think or worry about whether people are loving him or hating him, or whether what he shares and heals with people is working for them, because he knows that he is doing his soul's work, and it doesn't matter if people like it or not, because we are all on our own journey. And if they're there with him and they're not liking what he's doing, that has everything to do with them and nothing to do with him. So taking ourselves out of the driver's seat of the mind and knowing that we are our soul. We are our soul. We are not our mind. Just take a second to think about the stories that we wrap ourselves up in our mind all of the time. All of the time. Just all day. And I believe that what gets in the way of people manifesting their greatest life and being able to visualize truly and being able to use the law of attraction is getting stuck in the ego and living in the place of the mind and not in the soul. So truly returning to the soul, speaking to our soul, and feeling the quantum field around us at all times is everything. That is everything. And that is what will heal us. And that is what will bring us back into alignment with our souls. And the reason this is number one in this course, connecting to our soul, breaking down those barriers between us and the quantum field, is that when we reconnect to the field of all consciousness and loving intelligence, that is when we get back into alignment with the universe. So getting out of alignment with the universe and with the truth of the universe is when all disruption in our life occurs. So part of what we do in order to reconnect and break down those barriers and live in a state where we are connected to our soul all the time is by learning what we have to do to declutter our life from distractions. So this is a hard one, because we all have a lot of distractions in our life that we're pretty dedicated to. For me, I'll share what those are for me: technology, Instagram, emails, computer, work, friends and situations that no longer serve me, routines that no longer serve me, beliefs that I've believed my whole entire life, wanting what other people have, not thinking that being in my own lane is the most important and the only place to be, the present moment, the only place to be. So learning to declutter my life from these things has required building a new routine where I fill in the gaps. So I knew for so long that if I could just wake up every day and not first check my phone, not first go on Instagram and scroll, not first fill my mind with what other people are doing, but wake up, cuddle with Hudson for a little while, grab my journal and write from my heart, write poetry, write my thoughts, write ideas, gratitudes, love that I have for the other people in my life. I knew that that would open me up to one distraction being alleviated from my life. And when I live that way, when I live in a state of putting myself first versus putting other people's ideas and creativity above my own by looking at social media and even seeing what other people post for breakfast and thinking about, maybe I should have that for breakfast. I'm disconnecting from my own body, and what a disservice to my beautiful body that my soul has chosen to come into. I don't want to be disrupted from my own beautiful thoughts and ideas and intuition, from my own dreams, from my own reality here on this earth. So beginning to declutter my life has really helped with reconnecting to my soul, to my soul's eternal nature. And a bit harder than technology has been decluttering my life from the people who no longer serve me. And this is going to be a piece of your work this week, your homework, your joy, your fun work to do as part of this course is to really consider who and what is in your life that no longer serves you, no longer serves your highest self and your commitment to evolving your soul. And what I'm not telling you to do is run into your life and start cutting ties with people, because I do have a deep inner belief that we can love someone, we can have them in our life while also having a very strong energetic boundary between us and them. And that will require you stepping into your fullest power. And I had some moments when I first began to really spiritually evolve and elevate my vibration where I wasn't sure if I could remain friends with the longtime friends in my life who were not on this path of evolving their soul. And I shared this with my best friend, Jillian, and I said, it's hard. This is hard. What do we do? Because she's very much on this path with me, which I'm so grateful for. So grateful and have so much love and honor for the journey that she's taken herself on. And she said so wisely, as she often speaks the wiseness of my soul and my angels through her mouth and her own soul and her own angels, of course, which are very intertwined with mine. She reminded me that life wouldn't be so fun if we were just surrounded by all other people who were just like us. We have so much work to do here on this earth to share with the people in our lives what we're learning, to inspire them in their own way. And she made mention of some of our friends who are definitely not on this spiritual path, but they have had so much pleasure in learning about different things from us, like human design, for example, like astrology, like mediumship, and different messages that I have received for them or for myself. And they have taken that on, and they've had a lot of fun with it. So even though spirituality is not a part of their daily life, and there are things that I have struggled with other people in my life, family and friends at times, where I have felt like this is toxic and this is draining me, I have had to actually, rather than cutting them out of my life, which is the easy way out, I have chosen to do the harder, deeper inner work of energetic boundaries, of covering myself in a bubble of light and love, and also of using noble speech. And noble speech is something that my shaman has shared with me that has radically shifted my life, in which I do not indulge in gossip. I do not indulge in talking poorly of anyone, and I do not indulge in speaking harshly or harsh words to anyone. So part of energetic boundaries is learning to lovingly create boundaries with people in your life without hurting them, because they're not doing anything wrong by being in your life and by not being exactly how you want them to be. They're just on their soul's own journey. So I have embraced noble speech, and it has helped me so much with creating boundaries. For example, part of this spiritual path and learning to realign with my soul and remember that I am an eternal soul has meant spending quite a bit of time alone, especially during my healing journey. And some people in my life, they remember a time when I didn't like to be alone, when I always wanted to be with others, and when my social life was the pinnacle of my whole entire life. And that's not my life right now. And so when people in my life continuously want to see me and I'm not in a place where I feel like spending time with them for a multitude of reasons, I embrace noble speech and I find a way to tell them that serves us both in the highest and greatest good that right now is not the best time. So I have learned to do this unapologetically and without saying sorry, because I found that when I was saying, I'm sorry, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry that you haven't seen me in a while, I'm so sorry that again I have to say no to your plan, that was actually, that is not noble speech to myself. That was doing a disservice to my soul because I was constantly living in a state of apologizing for who I am and for what I want. And when my decisions come from a place of my soul's highest good, I don't have to apologize because I know it's for the greatest good of myself and for everyone around me. And I trust that my decisions are accurate for me. I don't have to apologize because I found that apologizing was just another form of me doing a disservice to my choices and to me not fully trusting my choices and still feeling like, oh, should I have said yes? I'm just going to apologize and apologize because I don't know if I should have said yes or said no. And oh, this boundary has been amazing. And it's amazing for me and it's amazing for the other people in my life because I have opened up space for them to, first of all, to understand me better. And isn't that what we're all here to do? To understand each other and share and receive and give, just like the vessel in the endless world. And also, I've opened up space for them to meet more people in their soul tribe who want to do the things that they want to do, who want to be surrounded with that type of energy all the time. So they don't have to feel lonely either. And another part of practicing noble speech is learning to share with the people in my world, in my life, just how much they mean to me and telling them as often as I'm inspired or as often as I feel they want or need to hear it, how much I love them and how much I appreciate them. And I tell them what I love about them and what I appreciate about them. And what I've learned is that sometimes saying something kind to someone and speaking nobly to them might take you just a second. And it might be just a moment, a fleeting moment in your life that takes little to no energy. And it might stick with that person for the rest of their entire life. And this, I had this experience this weekend as a few people shared with me some very special things about me. And I'm quite positive that for them, it was just a fleeting moment. And for me, I will remember these things for the rest of my life. And I truly believe that these words are helping my soul evolve to the next level and helping me wake back up to my own soul so that I can see, people see the good in me. People see my soul. They don't see the stories that I have on a loop in my head that hold me back. They see me. So I challenge you now. I invite you to see yourself as the people who love you see you, as the people who love you see your soul. And I cannot wait to walk you through this week's meditation because it's all about meeting our soul and remembering our eternal nature. And before we get there, part of waking back up and remembering our eternal soul is always coming back to our truth, always coming back to our highest and greatest truth, speaking our truth, living our truth, owning our truth, believing our truth, because our truth is everything and our truth will absolutely 100% set us free. It will always set us free. Our truth is in alignment with our soul. So if we're struggling with how to get into the vibration of our soul, just return to what you know to be true. Love is true. What you're passionate about is true. The universe, nature, the way that a flower blooms, the way that a bee goes on to a flower for nourishment, all of these things are true. So truly believe what is true. Believe no gossip. Believe no stories. Don't get swirled away in a shit-talking storm in your head or in your words. Replace these old habits with beautiful new ones and you'll be astonished at what that does for your life and your healing. Truly, truly. So part of decluttering our life also means filling in the gaps at the same time, filling in those beautiful gaps that are now open. Now that you have energetic boundaries protecting you from the things that no longer serve you in your life right now, you can fill in the gaps and that feels so good. Filling in the gaps with everything that you love. Inevitably, you'll be shedding people, ideas, beliefs, blocks, parts of yourself that have been cluttering yourself up for so long. So fill in those gaps with new people, new self-care, new routines, new meditations, new hobbies, new pieces of things to love. For me, that has been returning to nature, returning to my nature, spending more time outside, spending less time on the phone, spending more time knowing that my soul is actually huge and actually bursting out of my physical vessel at all times and no longer believing the story that I have to play small. I can remember when I first started playing small, and that was when I was young. When I was young and I was just so full of zest and full of happiness and full of life. And I remember people would look at me kind of weirdly, and just kind of, I could sense that they were thinking, this person is weird because she is so happy and she's so like passionate, and that's weird. And I remember thinking when I was so young, probably in like first grade, that I had to wrap up a part of myself and make myself smaller so that I wouldn't make other people uncomfortable and so that I wouldn't have to feel their judgment and their stares and their, maybe they were talking behind my back. I didn't want that. This is when I started to become a people pleaser and when I started to do everything in my life to please other people, because the greatest fear that I had was being disliked. The greatest fear I had was people talking behind my back or not liking me or not wanting to be around me or not wanting to be my friend. And letting go of that has been so healing to know I do not have to play small. You don't have to play small. Your soul tribe and your soul itself is waiting for you to wake back up to its greatest and most powerful nature so that you will know forever and forevermore that playing small is not your birthright. Playing big, playing huge is your birthright. You are limitless and you are infinite. Infinite possibilities, infinite everything. Time is infinite. Time doesn't exist. In that sense, how powerful are our souls? They are radiating power. They are everything. They are us. They are us. So please promise me one thing, that you will commit to waking up to your eternal soul here in this lifetime. If there's anything that you get out of this course, I want that to be it. Waking back up to your eternal soul and remembering this life is so precious and it's also so quick, like the snap of a finger, the blip on the radar. That's what this life is. So we can make something wonderful out of it, make it a wonderful memory, as the love of my life says, or just bumble on through, unsure of where we're going after this and unsure of why we're here. Which one sounds better to you? I know which one sounds better to me. Before we head into this week's meditation, I'm going to read you one more quote from Michael Singer to get us into this meditative state of mind. Michael Singer writes in The Untethered Soul, "The key is to be quiet. It's not that your mind has to be quiet. You be quiet. You, the one inside, watching the neurotic mind, just relax." Relax. And with that, breathe with me. Be with me. Be with you. Waking back up to our own soul feels so good. And when you're ready to embark on this guided meditation, find yourself in a comfortable seated position, or maybe lying down somewhere, feeling supported by the earth, if that is what serves you. Start to tune into the beingness of your own body, the breath that flows through, that nourishes you. The breath that taps you in to filling your lungs and expanding your heart space. The breath that opens you back up to everything that is you, everything you have always been, and everything you will always be. Holding now in our mind's eye a vision of our third eye. Our third eye exists between our two eyeballs in the center of our forehead. Imagine your third eye as a glowing ball of light. This light can be any color that you imagine it to be. Maybe it's white. Maybe it's purple. Maybe it's pink. Whatever you see, that's your color. The color of your third eye, the color of your soul's eternal nature. Feel free in this moment to place your fingers on your third eye and give your third eye a little massage. Part of waking back up to our eternal souls means showing our physical vessel the love that it deserves, so that the home of our soul knows how appreciated it is. Knows that we're in this together. We're not against our body just because we're trying to connect with our soul. We are not above our body. Our body is our hugest gift. It is our vessel to float and flow through this lifetime. And breathing into your third eye, massaging now in a circular clockwise direction. With any of your fingers, I prefer my middle finger here. Breathing, massaging clockwise. Eyes closed, tapping in, letting any images, any visions that pop up, letting them exist, letting them be here, letting them live. Your third eye is the home to your soul's memories, the memories that have existed in your soul since the beginning of time, since the endless world where we were the vessel in the light. And when you're ready, start to shift the massage of your third eye counterclockwise. And as you massage counterclockwise, imagine in your mind's eye, stepping back in time, taking yourself back to a moment where you felt completely in tune, completely in alignment with your soul's eternal nature. This memory can be in this lifetime. It can be in a previous lifetime. It can be deep in the records of your soul. whatever comes up, I ask you, I invite you to trust that your memory is real. Your memory is so real. Whether or not you consciously know that this memory was indeed happening, subconsciously, our minds know everything. Our subconscious is our soul. And as you massage your third eye counterclockwise, count backwards from 10 in your mind. 9, 8, breathing, 6, nourishing the lungs, 4, 3, 2, 1. Now live in that memory. Let all the feelings, the smells, the sensations of touch, all the sounds, let them all wrap your being in a blanket of light. Walk around there, move your body, shake out any tension that exists here in the physical world. That tension does not have to be a part of your story there. In fact, there is no story there. The story is you. The story is your soul. And you can continue massaging your third eye or let your palms lie flat against your side. Palms facing up if you're sitting to receive, or facing down if that feels good. And ask yourself in this blissful place, what about this memory makes me feel so supported? What did I experience here that showed me that my soul was with me all the time? And if you're able to, grasp for a word that encapsulates everything you feel here. And see that word floating in front of your third eye. Read what it says. And reach for it with your fingertips and your palms. Cup it in your hands, that word. And bring your hands to your third eye, letting your palms fall flat against your forehead, sending the energy of that word into your mind's eye, and seeing that word float into your body, into your bloodstream, swirling around your organs, nourishing your heart, wrapping up your lungs, dancing on your stomach, sending chills up and down your legs, your feet, your toes, your arms, your hands, your fingertips, letting that word wrap around the tension in your neck and melt. Melt the individual muscles as all floats down the back of your body, your scapula, your spine, your tailbone. And then watch as that word comes back up your spine, swirling, swirling and swirling all the way up, passing your neck, up into your brain, wrapping your brain in love, thanking your brain for housing your subconscious all of the stories we've been telling ourselves to make us feel safe. We can release those now. We are safe. We are the pure embodiment of safeness in our soul. And then this word swirls and wraps around our brain and comes up through the crown of our head. Faster swirling now, faster, all the way up through the crown of our head. Crown of our head opens. Light shines up into the sky, into the cosmos. And that word is going up to where our soul lives, where the energetic cords that connect our soul to our body, to our subconscious, where they all exist. Breathe here now. Now that this word has left its mark, its imprint on every piece of you, every organ, every cell, this word is imprinted in your DNA. And it now is connecting you to the cosmos, to your soul's eternal nature. Return now to your third eye and your mind's eye. Do you feel that your third eye is doing a dance? So happy to be nourished, to be cared for, to have the attention and love to take you to your soul's place, to your memory of your eternal soul, where everything exists, where everything will always be. And just know that your third eye holds so much power. So much power of your eternal nature. Whenever you want to return to this place, place your finger on your third eye. Give it a little massage. Show it some love. Remind it that you're here and that the veil between you and the visions, the dreams, the feelings, the visualizations that all exist right there in your mind's eye, that veil can be lifted by returning here. That veil exists because we chose to come into this human body, into this human experience, to evolve our souls and evolve our karma, make footprints on this earth. Footprints that embody our lasting eternal selves. But the veil doesn't have to be there. We live in a time where the veil is being pulled back. The veil is being pulled back to reveal what we've always known to be true, what we've always known to be so incredibly true, which is that we are the visions. We are the dreams. Nothing exists between us and the universe. Nothing exists between us and the eternal nature of our spirit. Our eyes are the window to our souls. Our eyes can always see what sometimes our physical vessel is not willing to see. But now we know our mind's eye is working in our favor. Our mind's eye is our greatest gift. The memory we hold where we have felt so connected to our soul is there for us at all times. It is molded into our brain, into our hearts, into our subconscious. And when you feel that you've fully experienced all of the senses of this memory in this lifetime or past, know that you can come here at any time, in any place, in any moment. This is for you. This is yours. This is yours to be had. This is yours to dance with and to play with and to return to at any time. And I invite you to stay here as long as you wish. And when you are ready, place that finger onto your third eye and slowly start to massage in a circle clockwise. And we'll count 10, breathing, 8, 7, feeling all of those senses coming with you, 5, 4, knowing that this is here for you in every moment, always. 2, 1, returning to your body, keeping those eyes closed, knowing that your eternal soul is with you now. You're not alone. You have so much help, so much support, so much guidance. Your eternal soul is your piece of the cosmos, is your piece of everything that has always existed, that is you. Take that color that you saw in your mind's eye and let that color explode all around you. The veil is lifted now. All there is a bubble of light and energy and beauty and bounty surrounding you with an energy, a language that your eternal soul understands in ways we are only beginning to understand in our conscious minds. But we are so much more than our conscious minds. We are so much more. Allow that color to become your ally. Just like the earth, the cosmos, and our spirits are some of our greatest allies, this color is you. This color represents your eternal soul, your eternal nature. And how good does that feel? This color is always here for you. This world that exists in your third eye, in your mind's eye, this is your world. Let it be so. Let it be so that your deepest innate power is you. We don't believe the stories anymore. We don't believe the constructs. We don't believe the limiting barriers that hold us back. We don't believe the veil. We thank the veil. We thank the veil for protecting us. And we also tell the veil, you can go now. You've lovingly protected me for as long as I have needed, until I was ready to wake back up to my eternal soul. I'm ready now. I'm ready now. I am ready now. Ask in this power. This power is yours. Your soul's eternal home is here for you always. Always and forever, and always and forever, through the barriers of time, through the walls of this existence, nothing has to be real. Everything can be real. Your eternal soul is you, is you, is you. The love and reverence that your eternal soul has for your physical vessel is beyond your wildest beliefs. The capacity for love, for receiving, for giving, for filling up the vessel and for being the vessel, for shining the light, for being the light, is infinite. Anything that no longer serves you is not yours. You have the power to let it go. You have the power to let it go now. You have the power to fill in the gaps. You have the power to fill in the gaps now, to guide yourself back to your soul's home in every moment. I invite you to stay here for as long as you wish. And when you're ready, allow that color to come back into your life with you. Your life is not the same. You are not the same. You are eternal in new ways. Ways that you always have been. This has always been you. When you're ready, open your eyes. Bring that color with you. You are new. You are an eternal soul. Thank yourself and come back here whenever you wish.